wake on up.
Wake up.
With a nice cup of Joe.
What's up, Joe, bro?
Featuring Joe Spadoni.
He's an Italian.
And Joe, the Butcher Boy Shasky.
I am slippery.
Oh! The best part of waking up. It's morning roast in your cup.
I have my naps timed out, bro.
The morning roast, man. On 95.7, the game.
Gilbert, his first major league hit in the third, and then he hit a fly ball to right field in the sixth.
Yeah.
There was a cat dying the entire broadcast on NBC Sports Bay Area last night during the Giants-Padres game. Padres win 4-1, but you know what? We'll get to the game in a second. This is the problem with sports right now, all right? As we're going back to NFL, and I feel like this is a problem with baseball in particular. So good morning to you, Shasky. Good morning to Carter. Good morning to Sam. Shout out Mark Grandy for filling in for me yesterday. We are making all these different rule changes. The pitch clock, the ghost runner, trying to speed up the game, all for the television audience. Are we not, Joe? We are, right?
There's infinitely more people at home watching and consuming on television via streaming or whatever you want to call it than there are in the actual stadiums. It doesn't matter what sport.
I should be allowed, as a consumer, I pay good money to watch these Giants games. You pay good money. All the people that are listening right now pay good money to watch Giants on NBC Sports Bay Area. And hell, I heard this on the Padres broadcast too. The one fan screaming the entire time, making my ears bleed, sounding like a dead cat, all right? I should be able to call in, whether it's to the Giants Stadium, whether it's to Rob Manfred, whether it's to Secaucus. I should be able to call in and say, this fan is ruining my experience watching this game on my couch. Move them or get them the hell out of there.
I literally turned the volume completely down.
If I'm allowed to do that at a game, if I see or hear someone around me that's ruining my experience, I'm allowed to text or call whatever number it is and say, you know what? This person is ruining my experience. I could do that. Now, they'll come in and check on it and see what's going down.
You could text bad fan.
There you go. I should be able to call bad fan and have them removed because it's ruining my television experience. That was awful. On top of an awful loss last night. And I was feeling good. I was feeling great. I was feeling happy. Dropped off my kids the first day of school yesterday. The vibes were great. And then I had to watch that and listen to that yesterday. I had to turn it off. I had to turn off the sound.
It's so bad.
Horrible.
It's so bad. And I don't understand why they couldn't just go over to the woman. I'm dead serious on this. Go over to the woman, figure it out, and say, ma'am, listen to me. You are ruining it for everyone in attendance, but you're actually ruining it for everyone at home. And why couldn't they fade the audio down and pick up another mic and another audio from somewhere else? NBC's done a great job in terms of the drone shots and everything like that, but I just don't understand it.
Well, that's why I went to the Padres podcast with Don Orsillo.
Well, they're using the same cameras and the same feeds.
Correct. So it was not, it didn't matter because it was the same thing, right? And it was hilarious. Can you play it one more time, Carter? You brought in.
It was so bad.
It was so bad, but it was almost like Kiper was letting it breathe.
Gilbert, his first major league hit in the third, and then he hit a fly ball to right field in the sixth.
Oh, my God.
Shut up down there! That's what I wanted to yell. I wanted to yell, shut up! You're ruining it for everyone! Shut up! You, yes, you, the one looking back at me, shut up!
I'm tired of getting pushed around!
No, someone needed to check her, like a friend, someone in the area, say, hey, can you not? You're hurting my ears. Like, this is
what if
horrible.
You were a part of that, like, that friend group?
I'd be embarrassed.
That's what I'm saying.
I'd be embarrassed. No, like, and there's levels to this, because it's not, it could have been a Giants or a Padres fan. I'm pretty sure it was a Padres fan, but I've heard, you know, members of my own fan base that drive me nuts during a given game. I went to Lakers-Warriors game at Shea Center, God, like 6 months ago. I think Anthony Davis was still on the team then. Went to it. By the way, I hit up a bunch of people, and I asked them, you want to go to the game tonight? And, no one got back to me. I asked, five or six people from the station. It's nah, I don't want to go. Mind you, this is prior to the Jimmy Butler era, so that just spoke to people not wanting to go. This is a Warriors-Lakers game. It was Steph and LeBron. And people were like, nah, I'm good. I was all right, fine. I went solo to that game, by the way. And I didn't mind. You know why? because I got the tickets. I got a hookup. I was like, all right, I'm just going to go and enjoy myself, enjoy some basketball.
I rarely get hookups. Wow.
Well, you know, you got to know the right people, Joe. But I was sitting there, and this woman behind me, it was a Warriors fan. It was okay, though. She was enjoying the time. But just yelling just to yell. And people that do that, shame on you. Yell just to yell. Just gibberish. Now, I do that a lot Monday through Friday from 6 to 10. I yell to yell sometimes. But most of the time, I have a point in what I'm doing. The point is that not the worst thing a fan can do at a game? Hell, you can run out to a field, right? And you know what? Eventually, you get tackled and get kicked out. This person should have got tackled and kicked out of the game for screaming the entire time.
I have one algorithm when going to games. It's very simple in terms of fan behavior. If you are ruining it for others around you, stop. Doesn't matter what it is, okay? If you're ruining it for people around you, just stop. Now, there are time and place where it's appropriate to stand. Third down, whatever quarter it is. Yeah. Maybe it's the fourth quarter of a playoff game.
I never like to tell other people that get excited at a game to sit down. Like, if they're
It
depends for how long, right? So, like, if there's a really sick dunk and someone jumps up at a basketball game, sure, right? Just hang out. Like,
here's where I would say to you, though, Joe, as I get older, when I bring older individuals to the games, they can't get up. So I'm always cognizant of the people behind me, and I'll say to them, early in the game, hey, if I jump up, I apologize. Like, I don't want to block your view because you're a little older. You paid your ticket too.
Absolutely. And I'll say old and young because I bring a 5-year-old and a 2-year-old, right? Benny and Nora to these games, and they're really small. Like, even when they're sitting down, so I have them, one of them sitting on my lap or standing up on my lap, and that's fine. But they may be blocking someone behind me too. So it's this very tricky situation. So I hear you on that. By the way, shout out to those watching on YouTube. Brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union for a low rate auto loan apply line, or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer.
And like the way I view it is like, hey, don't ruin it for others around you. I've been around people that just won't shut up at the game. You know, there was a heckler that is big on TikTok. It's a big giant dork. Okay. It's
Big Will and Dibs interviewed him a couple months ago.
Of course. He's a huge dork. All right. And here's why I think the guy's a huge dork, because bro, you're doing it for clicks. Well, you're literally doing the whole thing, and you think you're funny, and you're kind of not. That's number one. And number two, it's like, dude, if you're relentlessly doing this throughout the game, you're kind of ruining it for everybody around you. Just so that you can get the video. It's like the idiot at Walmart that's doing a TikTok dance in the middle of the aisle, and the mother with three kids is trying to just grocery shop. Get out of the way, you idiot.
I hate that.
Society is so, this is where I go back to, people are so selfish and only worried about themselves, they can't see beyond their own nose.
Worst way a fan can ruin a game is what? 888-957-9570. Because this isn't the first time something's happened in a Giants game. Remember, someone threw a ball onto the field of play this past year, Joe, and I somehow think the fans screaming the entire time was worse than the thing that actually might have impacted the game.
If a fan leans over by, you know, reflex and goes after a ball, yeah, it's a stupid thing, but like, I can understand in the moment feeling like, oh, I got my glove. I'm come here to make a play. You don't realize where you are. You're not a professional athlete. Maybe you've never caught a ball. Like, you know what? I'll grant you a one-off. If you're screaming and bellowing like a dead cat in an alleyway.
It was a dead cat. It
for
was
four innings?
Horrible. Horrible. One more time, Carter. You got it. Come on. Just this is what we had to listen to, guys.
Gilbert, his first major league hit in the third, and then he hit a fly ball to right field in the sixth.
I wanted to call 311. I don't know if any San Franciscans out there know. 311's like the catch-all for anything. And you just kind of like text it in like, hey, dude, somebody threw a bunch of mattresses in front of my house or something.
Sam got in my ear and said, snitch immediately.
If somebody dumped a bunch of crap in front of your house, you should not be responsible for having to pick it all up. Like, this goes back to my RV, you know, my anti-RV statements.
Oh, get Bonte on the line. Get Bonte on
this. Everybody's all pro RV till one pulls up in front of your house and dumps a bunch of garbage and
that.
A bunch of you know, sewage all over your block. And then you'll look at it a little different when your wife and your kid are just trying to walk around the lake. It's a little more dangerous than that. And they're barbecuing next to a bunch of dry leaves and then, you know, the thing could catch fire. That being said, like, 311 is there for a reason. I would have 311 that woman. I would have bad fan text her in, like, dead serious.
From the boxer and Gerson work injury attorney's text line. I thought the Seagulls came after the game or in the ninth inning, not the entirety of it. That's pretty good. It does actually kind of sound like a Seagull. It does. Not Seagull from the 49ers. He's okay, by the way, my guy. Seagull for the Niners. He looked good on Saturday. He was making some plays.
Seagull looked amazing. I think he's the free safety we've been looking for since Eric Reed.
888-957-9570 is the number to call or text.
I wanted the new mascot for the Valkyries to come over and shank
punch,
her.
And punch her.
No, shank her with whatever her Valkyrie sword is.
I do like when there's like fake fighting, when there's, and we're not calling for actual violence on this person, we're not, but when there's like the fake violence from like the mascots when they get into it, I would appreciate that. Like, and that's actually a good way, Joe, of telling this person, like, be quiet. To bring Lucille over.
That's a great point.
Be like, hey.
Great point.
Hey, like, get the hat and, like, put it over her face or something, or, like, cover up her mouth for a second. Like, that's, like, a non-threatening way to do it, but I think they'll get the message. So get Lucille on this. Bring him over and say, you know what? Just take a play off. We don't want to hear from you. I know you're excited. You bought your ticket. You want to cheer like everyone else. But you're ruining the experience for everyone.
Right? For everyone.
There you go.
For everyone.
And we didn't even need that, because on top of it, the experience of just watching the Giants has been awful anyways, as they lost three of their last four, Joe. And the Padres, by the way, have moved on from Bob Melvin, and they're going to win the division this year. I'm just letting you know. Padres are winning the NL West. They're a game back of the Dodgers. And by the way, the Dodgers might have some trouble on the Ohtani front. Another legal thing going on with Shohei Ohtani? Huh. Interesting. No,
it wouldn't have happened if he would have been, I don't know, prosecuted for the first thing.
Well, oh, no.
Apparently he has another.
At least investigated more than 24 hours.
Well, there's a fall guy for everything.
Oh, I'm sure eBay did this one, too.
He might. Well, we'll see. We'll see. But getting back to the Giants, Joe.
He hit his 42nd home run last night.
He did. Well, he's going to win the MVP in the National League. He just is. He is. And there's nothing you can do about it. But it would. I think he would take some solace in knowing that the Padres would win the division. That being said, the Giants, again, we're in August 12th, 2025, and the Giants are still the third team in the division. So,
oh, you have sound of an usher talking to this woman? Oh, I have to hear it now.
What?
I have to hear it.
Oh, are you all right? You're kind of over-anxious here. You're getting complaints. Well, you don't have to be too quiet. Something standing up yelling like crazy. It's good to yell for your team. I'm not trying to stop you there. You haven't experienced
it.
You're all good as far as
this. But you know what? Kudos to that usher. That was handled very well.
That was brilliant.
You could
standing ovation to the usher.
You could say what you need. You can just no profanities. You've been fine. Just tone it down a little bit.
I want to retire and be an usher at some point.
Yeah, man.
I think it would be great for me. Well, I'm going to do some refereeing this year for CYO. I said, because I don't have a team this year.
Oh, you're going to do some refereeing? So you guys going to cross paths?
Well, I'm a way better referee than Dibs. I mean, what? I actually move on the court.
Wow.
There's a difference between, you know.
He's been doing it for a long time, Joe. I think your shot's fired.
It's like going to an old doctor. Sometimes they miss things.
Yeah, they do. But you know what? They've been around a minute. They might, you know, catch up on some things.
They have a lot of experience. You know, that really helps on the playing field.
You know what I appreciate about the old doctors, though, compared to the new ones? When you take the little guy, little girl to the doctor, and it's like, they look at it for 1 second. Yeah, they're fine. Just here's you. Just put some cream on or something. Yeah, they're fine.
I mean, that's what I'm there for.
See, you'll learn this, though, because the first one's different from the second one. When you get the second one, it's like, you know, they fell. Yeah, get up. You're fine.
My kid got pelted. I was telling the story yesterday. We were at the park, Fort Scott Field, and this kid fired a football from 40 yards away. A little one, not a big one, like, you know, the mini or whatever, the junior size one.
Right.
It pelted him in the rib cage.
Oh.
He didn't go down, and he just started wailing. I was like, you're good. Get up. You're good. You're good. I lifted his shirt up. He had the full football mark
on the
side of the rib cage. I was like, maybe he broke a rib. I don't know. And then I was like, cookie? And he was like, yes.
Yeah.
And I gave him like four cookies, and we were good.
The best thing to do is like when a kid like falls or runs and like they scrape their legs or their knees or whatever, because it happens all the time.
Just don't react.
No, you don't react, or you run in there, pick him up, and like shake him. Like, yeah, you did it. You're fine. Like you get him distracted. That's what you do. Yeah, you distract them really quick.
Break and then their arm when they get old. They're like, yes, I did it.
Well, it was great.
I did it, Dad.
It was funny as I was taking the kids the first day of school yesterday. By the way, we're gonna get into the first day of school when it comes to the San Francisco 49ers, because I have some metaphors and analogies for you later on in the show today, Joe. And we will get into the Giants and just the dumpster fire of this last couple days for them. As you thought things were turning, then you lose that series of the Nationals, and then just the wet blanket that was yesterday with the fans screaming 4-1 the final for the Padres as they are a game back of the Dodgers for the NL West crown. But I was at first day of school yesterday, And God bless Nora. She has such second kid energy. When I could just take her first day of preschool, like legit preschool at a big school, doesn't know anyone, whatever. There's a bunch of kids that are bigger than her. It's fine. She's kind of on like the younger end of the spectrum there in the preschool because she's just about to turn three. So she's just right at that cutoff for preschool. Mm-hmm. But she just made it because her birthday's in a couple months. So she's one of the smaller ones. But she just walks in there. She sees a toy kitchen, just goes in there, just starts cooking, just puts all the pots and pans up, making cantaloupe with bacon, these weird concoctions, but it's okay. I'm going to pretend to eat all of it. It's
That's
great.
My move. I take the sausage, the egg, and the cantaloupe. What's the thing you like the most? That's the front part that you're going to see as I'm shoveling the rest into your mouth.
There you go, right? So she puts it on there, and then I couldn't have been there. It didn't even matter. Mom and dad just like, oh, you're good, Nora? You're good? Just leave. I'm good.
It's the Irish goodbye.
Conversely, young Benjamin, 5 years old, going on six, kindergarten, he was in TK last year. He's still kind of feeling, he's like, I don't want to go. He gets anxious. That's fine. A couple tears, but you know what? I'm very proud of Benny. He crushed it yesterday because I saw a lot of other kids first day of school just outright trying to run away. Like, no, I'm out. And I felt that yesterday, Joe. I felt that like... That's how Giants fans are feeling right now.
I'm out.
You can't take me to this game. That being said,
the place was packed.
It was packed. Why are Giants fans still going to these games?
Because they do care about this team. There's this thing like, we don't care about baseball. Lie. We don't care about the Giants. Lie. We may not care about Bob Melvin, but we definitely care about this team.
And that's a social media thing, too, I feel like. It's like the cool thing that, oh, I don't care about baseball. I only care about football and basketball.
Okay, 3.5 million people are going to go through those gates.
Exactly.
On a team that's been mathematically eliminated since August 11th.
And I'm not here for it's the Padres fans, because their fan base has grown. Like, I'll give them that. This the last decade.
I mean, how many baseball fandoms, though, can we name that are infinitely larger than the Padres?
Absolutely.
10?
No, yes.
And I'm not knocking San Diego.
No, absolutely not. Hell, the Padres, just if we're going to fan bases in all of major sports in California, I don't know where they rank. They might rank outside the top 10 if we're going the totality of everything.
Niners,
there.
Lakers, Warriors, Dodgers. I mean...
I'm going USC football over the Padres.
Okay.
Like, that's what I'm getting at here.
Rams.
Like, Rams, exactly.
You know, like, that's
NFL,
five.
I'm taking
five.
All of them. There you go. Hell, and I may even take a team that's not even playing in California, the Raiders, over them. Talk about fan bases
in
the state.
SoCal, yeah.
So, but this is what I'm getting at. I don't think it's all Padres fans there. People are going to point, the Padres. Oh, no. There's a lot of Giants fans there in the building. I'd like to hear them drown out that lady yesterday, but they're not giving them much to cheer about. Outside of a Devers home run, great. It was a nice little bounce back. You tie the game up, and then you leave Logan Webb in for a little bit too long, Joe. And the fans have nothing to cheer about. And I thought it was interesting that Bob Melvin, and we'll hear from his comments from just a couple days ago, when Verlander had his, 3,500 strikeout.
It meant nothing to me.
Meant nothing, because it was the first inning. It was like, great, you escaped it, and then the wheels fell off immediately right after that. And you got shelled against a bad Nationals team that have waved the white flag for the last couple weeks, right? You got a guy named James Wood in here that hasn't hit a home run since, the Derby? And then he comes in here.
He had a great weekend.
He had a great weekend.
You know, Joe, in a weird way, I was thinking about this. Like, there's been some very disappointing years. Like, last year, the Niners were so disappointing coming off that Super Bowl. But I don't know. In many ways, like, I kind of saw it coming, but I didn't. But I didn't want to admit it. And the Warriors, after the whole punch thing, like, that year was really disappointing. The last couple before they get Jimmy Butler were pretty disappointing. In the oddest way, maybe I'm just a prisoner of right now, of this moment. I feel like this is as disappointing, if not more disappointing, than any other sports season in the Bay Area in the last 7, 8, 9, 10 years.
Wow.
It's so disappointing. Not that I expected them to be some, championship contender. You can't even be in the third wild card race by the September Labor Day weekend? What?
I would like to remind everyone the conversations that were being had on these very airwaves after the Devers trade. It wasn't make the playoffs. It wasn't win the division. It was compete for a World Series. That's what the Dave Flemings, that's what the Jim Bowdens of the world were saying. That's what the Keith Laws were saying when they were joining us on here, saying, oh yeah, they could win the division. They could be in the playoffs. They could be a legit contender in the National League. And now, 2 months later, They're cooked?
Yeah.
It, It's not good enough.
You know where I stand on Bob Melvin. I've been out. I'm out. I'm all the way out. And yesterday, what happened in the sixth, seventh inning for me was just, hey, why are you even in the dugout? That's what I want to ask. Why are you even in the dugout if you're just going to sit there and be a bystander and just watch? You know, I have a saying. I go, the kids, you play the game. The parents watch. You don't stand and watch the play developing. That's what parents do in the stands. Bob looks more like a parent watching from the stands than he does look like an active participant working his roster.
Have Giants fans tuned out on Bob Melvin? Have the players now tuned out on Bob Melvin? I think Shasky has, and we're going to get into it on the other side. We are coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios, Laughing Monk Righteously Brewed in San Francisco, and that's what's coming up in the game, brought to you by American Cancer Society.
With a convincing 17-point win on Violet's birthday. The new Raven mascot of the Valkyries. They get back above 500 at 16-15 with a 74-57 win over the Connecticut Sun.
This is Big Pun from South City. You are now tuned in to the Morning Roast with my boy, Original Joe, and the one and only Butcher Boy Shasky on 95.7 The Game.
That guy
can
drink like a fish.
Kevin Dan on the call right here on 95.7 The Game. Valkyries looking primed for the playoffs. And by the way, shout out Tiffany Hayes of the Valkyries. Moves to 31st on the WNBA's all-time scoring list in said win over the Connecticut Sun.
Yeah.
She passes Cheryl Swoops. That's a name you haven't heard in a minute, Joe. Cheryl Swoops passes her for 31st all-time. And she is approaching 5,000 career points. So a massive win for the Valkyries, taking care of business over a not very good Sun team. But again, if you want to be a playoff team, you got to take care of business against the bad teams. And that's what they did yesterday. And they unveiled their new mascot, Violet the Raven, the Valkyrie. Does she know the Ravens mascot from Baltimore, I wonder? What is it, Poe? Like Edgar Allan Poe? I think that's the name of the Raven over there in Baltimore. Maybe they could be an item at one point. But I'll ship them later, kind of Love Island for the mascots. Maybe we could do that. But shout out Violet the Valkyrie. Did you see the Valkyrie? Do you like the look?
Yeah, it's not bad.
Okay.
Whatever. It's new. Gritty's kind of like the best of the new.
Gritty.
What?
That's the Philadelphia Flyers one,
yeah,
right?
Like, or he's kind of like the gold standard of new.
An elite mascot.
I don't even know what it is. It's just
that's
like a
best.
No one knows what it is.
That's the best part.
I watched that movie last night, Blades of Glory, by the way. Continue.
Oh, Blades of Glory. Yeah, it's been a minute. Will Ferrell had a moment. I got to get on Bob Melvin here. Like, we just have to.
Enough of the bird.
No. Okay. Like, I get it. I'll get into mascots. I'm so hot on Bob from last night. You know, my buddy who is a Padre fan. That reminds me of like the Star Wars. Woo!
Yahoo!
The nickname that they dubbed down in San Diego was Sleepy Bob, right? And you can, oh, Joe, it's not fair. That's just, I'm telling you what the nickname was down in San Diego yesterday.
Sleepy Bob. That's my dad.
Yesterday, it's the sixth inning, okay? Now, you end up scoring a run after you escaped a jam in the top of the sixth. Anybody that was watching that game was thinking the same thing I was thinking. Damn, Logan Webb gets no run support. He's pitching a really good game right now. You're getting shoved by Yu Darvish and his 5.5 plus ERA.
How old is he? He's got to be like almost 40.
You're getting shoved.
He's 38, by the way.
By Yu Darvish.
He's gonna be 39 in 4 days. Oh my God! He didn't look. He looked like he was 29.
He looks better than Verlander.
He looked like Texas Rangers. Yu Darvish. Yeah, he did look better than.
Just yesterday. But like, you watch the game. Like Logan Webb is. He's living the Matt Cain existence all over again. And you're going to come out, oh, he gave up a bunch of runs in that seventh inning. Like, yeah, you're right. And his manager's doing him no favors. So after escaping a jam where they should have gave up multiple runs in the top of the sixth, Devers hits a moonshot home run to left center. As a manager, you know what I'm thinking to myself? Wow. We might not score the rest of the night. I need to treat this next inning as a humongous momentum shutdown inning. We know the Padres come in waves. Do they not?
They do.
So you've got the 7, 8, 9 hitters coming up. Lefty, lefty, righty, top of the order. Now, just glancing at the splits, okay? Glancing at the splits, I know that all those guys hit a little worse, sometimes a lot worse, against lefties. I got one lefty in the pen. His name is Lucchese, all right? If you want to go with Logan Webb to come back out, you got to have the quick hook. The last inning, you saw it. He escaped a jam. He gives up the double, and Sheets is flying into second base. Now, the young man, Gilbert, who they picked up, he's trying hard. He's learning in right field. It's a tough place to play. They've got him shaded into Triple's Alley. It's just tough.
He looked like a rookie yesterday.
Yeah, a couple different places. He slipped in the dirt.
Yeah.
A great manager senses in the Padre dugout, Schilt goes, hey, we need to score here. We're going to pinch run a guy who's got as many home runs as some of your top dogs, Gavin Sheets, and we're going to go with our speedy, defensive-minded outfielder, who on most Giants teams the last 3 years would probably be a starter and be batting in the 3-4-5-6 spot. They go to the speedy outfielder, the defensive replacement guy, to pinch run at second base. Here comes Cronenworth, another lefty. Look at the splits. He hits a little worse against lefties. Now, I know. Logan's your ace. I get it. He's leaking oil. You need an out here. Logan is leading baseball in innings pitched. He has not gotten through 7 innings since the middle of June. We're in mid-August. That's 2 months ago. He is exhausted. Now, I get it. You traded away your bullpen, guys. Bob, get the lefty up the minute the guy gets on to start the inning, if you're going to go with Logan Webb. There's no zoom in on the bullpen. We have no idea who's getting up, and this is another thing that kind of drives me nuts about the broadcast. Like, tell me when guys get up. Don't wait till afterwards when they're all lathered up to let me know they're there. Cronenworth rolls one over in between second and first base, and the guy from second scores by 2 steps. Because the manager in the other dugout sensed the moment, we need to score a run right here. We need to answer back from the Devers situation. All right? And then what ends up happening? That guy scores. Now it's a 2-1 ball game. Every Giants fan's thinking the same thing. Oh, what a gut punch.
Oh, this lead's insurmountable, which is sad.
Here comes the 9-hitter. And for the 3rd time since the All-Star break, the 9-hitter hits a 2-run home run. The 9-hitter. Okay, who also hits worse against lefties, then you take out Logan Webb. Well, thanks, Bob. I really appreciate that you showed up to this game and decided to make a move after the game's over. Thanks, buddy. Really appreciate it. I thanks for showing up. Again, the guys on the field are participating. The coaches are trying to think 3 steps ahead. Bob's out here like a parent, just clapping, just watching. I'm so over him.
I don't know what's more frustrating, to be honest. Is it 2 of your highest paid players? Because Devers did have a home run yesterday, so I'm not going to get on him. He did tie up the game. He did what you're supposed to do if you're Devers. Hit a home run.
He hit a bomb.
There you go. He did something yesterday. He was the only offense. I got Willy Adames out there arguing a check swing at the bottom of the 4th inning. Like, it feels like he was trying to get thrown out of the game, going at the first base umpire. Like, stop. You're 0-for tonight, dude. You've been struggling mightily. You're batting .227, right? Making $100+ million. Matt Chapman, another guy. So I hear you on Bob, but I do wonder what Giants fans are more frustrated right now. Is it the manager or is it your 2 highest paid players? Two of the three.
To me, it's both. And like, think about this. Bob called these guys out on Sunday, and that's how you respond.
It's bad.
That's how you respond. And let me give you, I got something for the 2 highest paid players on the team right now outside of Devers, Adames and Chapman. You know, a little birdie told me that those guys are only available when they do well. That's front runner stuff.
And when you say available,
I mean
talking to the media.
There's a lack of accountability, and it starts with the manager, and it's permeating through my 2 top dogs. Hey, Chapman and Adames, y'all want to be all buddy-buddy, happy-happy when you do well? Where you at when times are tough? You're making these reporters wait for you for an hour after the game, and you know that they're going to leave because people have lives and jobs to do and things to report. That's weak.
If I was going to ask you who is the leader of this Giants team, and I'm not letting you do a front office guy. Who's the leader of this team?
I don't know
exactly. You don't even know. That's a problem.
Look, I'm a big
who's the leader of the Padres? Let me ask that.
It might be Machado and
Tatis.
Yeah.
Yeah. You'll go to those guys.
Yeah.
Now, say what you will
they
about
might
them.
Not get along at every single test step of the way.
But they set the tone.
Absolutely.
Do they not?
Speak.
There's tension, and I get it. It could be bad. It could be blown up. We could laugh at them in the playoffs if it falls apart. But there is something to be said about getting on the other players' asses and having tension in the dugout at all times. They do that.
People might say that, you know, oh, I don't care what the media and this and the other. Brock Purdy's available for everything.
Yeah.
George Kittle's available for everything. Fred Warner's available for everything. Now, there are different stipulations in other sports. Steph Curry talks every single night.
Yeah.
Every night.
And I can't get
Adamas and Chapman to step up. You want to take the money, but you don't want the responsibility that comes with it? That's weak to me. And again, I've rooted for both players, and I like both players. But when I heard that, I was like, that's not leadership. Why did they give him 180? It wasn't because of his batting average.
No.
It wasn't because of his range. They gave Willie Adamas $180 million for leadership, correct?
For culture.
Yeah, it ain't just rah-rah out the dugout. It's I step in front of the podium and take on the firing squad when this team is 0 for 8 billion with runners in scoring position. That's part of being a leader.
Part of being a leader also is pivoting when we need to, and we will right now because it's time for the Golden State Valkyries Strongest Player of the Game, brought to you by El Camino Health. Our strength, your health. And as mentioned, the Valkyries continue to roll, extracting revenge on the Connecticut Sun after a brutal loss to them last month. And they rode the hot hand of Tiffany Hayes, who again passed Cheryl Swoops for 31st all-time in WNBA scoring, and had this milestone layup in the first quarter.
Wow, this is a nice, fast take and move aside Cheryl Swoops, because Tiffany Hayes just passed you on the all-time scoring leaderboard in WNBA history with that nice layup. 14-6.
Kevin Dane on the call right here on 95.7 The Game. Hayes finished with a team-high 17 points in the win, and that was the strongest player in the game, brought to you by El Camino Health. Our strength, your health. We're going to pick this conversation up on the other side. When it comes to leadership, who is the leader of this Giants team? And what's more glaring? Is the lack of leadership from the manager or from the players? On 95.7 The Game, and it's brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. I'll say
sports,
that.
Sports, man.
Can you get Logan Rebs some run support? That's going to be a conversation I feel like we're going to have forever. Like, Mac, I just picture Matt Cain on the mound every time I see Logan Webb. Just with the lack of run support. It feels like there is so much pressure on this pitching staff, and it's palpable. Every time they get up there, whether it's a 1-0 lead, a 2-0 lead, it's like, oh, well, we're screwed. We have a team full of Paul Skeens, it feels like, that every time he goes out there, he has to be almost perfect. That's what the Giants pitching staff is right now. But the problem is also, Joe, is a lack of leadership. I asked you a question last segment, straight up, who's the leader of the Giants team? And you said, I don't know. That's a problem. It's August 12th. And you have multiple $100 million players on this roster. And no one stepped up to be that dude. No one stepped up. And it's not Bob Melvin. It's not. And we're going to hear from Bob Melvin that tells me he's at a loss right now and he doesn't know what to do.
Well, we're all done with Bob. I mean, there's just the fan base is done. Fans are done with him. I don't even know if the players are. It's not my place to know about what the dugout feels about him. But I'm done with him. I think we're all done with him. Nice guy. Great. Like, I just, nice guy. I've done that so many times,
and I will always reiterate, the worst thing you could say about a player or a coach is he's a nice guy.
But here's what I will defend.
Oh, he was a really nice guy.
Here's what I will defend. I will defend the roster is not good enough.
Yeah.
That's not on Bob, right? So if we're going to have, like, a real Giants conversation, it starts here. They're 28th in hits as an offense. 26th. There are 30 teams in baseball. I just want everyone to know that.
Oh.
28th in hits. That's third to last. 26th in batting average, 29th in stolen bases. That's tied for dead last in stolen bases. 25th in OPS, 27th in slugging, 25th in runs, 26th in home runs, 23rd in RBIs, 23rd in doubles, 21st in OBP. This is one of, again, the worst offenses in baseball. Which I feel like we've been saying for over a decade. It's insane.
This team needs a jolt of some sort. And they thought they were getting it with Rafi Devers in the lineup. And Rafi Devers has been, you know, not the player I think Giants fans have wanted. Although, as of late, he's been playing a lot better. And I do think he's going to settle in full offseason with the team. Maybe work on the weight a little bit. Get fully healthy. Because they can tell me as much as they want. But he's just not healthy. He's not going to be healthy the rest of the season. So get him Nice and rested up heading into next year. I feel fine with Rafi Devers. Willy Adames and Matt Chapman, I have major question marks on. Chapman with the glove, fine. That's only going to take you so far when I have this team that can't even score more than one inning against a Yu Darvish that's damn near 40 years old and had, what, like a 9 ERA it felt like just a couple weeks ago? Like, the guy's not very good. But how many times have we said that? Oh, this guy, he's not very good, but he looks amazing against the Giants offense. That tells you all you need to know about the team right now. By the way, it's brought to you by Golden State, serving the Bear for 3 generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit goldenstatelumber.com. And I do have some sound here when it comes to Bob Melvin that I want to get to. This was, what, Sunday? This was the Justin Verlander start I want to get to first, because this is the one that was glaring to me. Talking about the fans, and you brought this one up earlier. 40,000 fans out there, and they've been showing up. The fans have been showing up to the ballpark. The team hasn't really given them much to cheer about at times at home, but the fans are still showing up. This is a team that's one game under 500. But this is Bob Melvin talking about the fans having nothing to root for.
I mean, we have 40,000 people here. We don't give them anything to root for the entire game other than that. So, unfortunately, that probably is as disappointing a game we've had all year. Back to JV, strikes out the side in the first and has that moment. That was great. But, you know, he's got a lot of accomplishments, a lot of stripes.
Exactly. And Justin Verlander, we're going to look back on it, and Justin Verlander, Giants, will be like, What? Yeah, that happened. Like, it's just going to be like a nothing burger, almost like a Randy Johnson when he was a Giants. Like, it's like, whatever. Right? It's what I kind of liken it to.
I'm with you.
Like, that's what it's so great. Justin Verlander, and that's kind of what Bob was saying. They're great. He had his moment. 3,500 strikeouts. Congratulations, Justin. He's a Hall of Famer, but that's not going to do anything for anyone there in the first inning when you were struggling. Yeah, he struck out the side, but you're lucky to get out of that inning with nothing. Ends up giving it up there. And then they couldn't fight back against a Nationals team again that has been struggling all season long, that is not a very good team, that fired their manager and their general manager. Like, they just cleaned house. And this is a team that's kicking your ass. Like, so, yeah, it's great when you win series against the Mets and, you know, you bounce back against the Pirates, but then you do that against the Nationals. It's not going to ingratiate yourself well to a fan base. I don't think Bob Melvin has been able to do that the last 2 years. He just hasn't. There's not a signature Bob Melvin like moment that I could think of. Like, this was the turning point. He went to this guy in this situation, or he had a rallying cry, or he dug into the players after a when's the last time he really went at a player? And I'm not saying that's the end all be all, is like ripping your players, because that when you do it too many times, it becomes like chicken bleep. And you know what? I tune it out. But you need to at some point call out the players. And was that him calling them out? It wasn't good enough for me. Because what do you do, Bob, when you call out those players? You have the same exact lineup in the same exact order, and you bring them back out there like something's going to change. It didn't change, especially, and it's definitely not going to change against the Padres, who are actually a good team. Like, you got to do something else there, and he just sounds defeated, and the fan base feels defeated because of it. Is it not? You sound defeated right now. You've sounded defeated the last couple weeks, quite frankly.
It's got a similar vibe to the way we discuss the Niners, in that once we start talking about the Yorks and the stadium,
it's over. The season's cooked.
Right? Look, you guys are all laughing, but you know it's true. Once I start hearing about, like, ballpark dimensions and everything, I'm just like, what are we doing? Can I just
there's like a trickle down of things to complain about, and you know it's the season's over when you get to, I've tuned out the manager. It's we're talking about rallying around the team after a game or a loss, and they just can't even do that. It's over.
Look, the Giants are a very bad offense at home.
They're also only 4.5 back from the wild card. And again, I sound insane when I say that. And you're looking at me like, stop. They might as well be 10.5 back.
They're done. The Giants are a very bad hitting team at home, right? That's pretty obvious. I think we all know that. Yeah. The Padres aren't much better at home, right? And you know where the Padres are? They're worse on the road than the Giants are.
They're 29-32.
No, but I'm saying at hitting. I'm just going just pure hitting, all right? Pure hitting.
They're also just under 500 on the road. Yeah, exactly.
So at pure hitting on the road, the Padres are significantly worse than where the Giants are at. The Giants on the road are, I would say, bottom third in almost every category offensively. Now, if they were like upper third in the road splits, I'd be like, dude, you're right. You know, we got to do something about the ballpark and this, that, and the other. But like, the Padres struggle at home to hit, and they struggle on the road to hit, just relative to the rest of the league and what that lineup is.
All right.
It's about situational at-bats. Like, this is not about data over an entire year, because that's not it. Like, the Giants put up runs on the road over an entire year. They actually do. They draw a lot of walks over an entire year. Situational at-bats. How many times have you seen Pat Bailey go up there in the 6th, 7th, or 8th inning dying to get a walk?
Oh, my God.
How many borderline plays where he's flipping the bat on a 3-1 count, like, oh, that's ball four. I'm going to go take it. Swing the bat!
Right. You're on the team to swing. Like, come on.
And I'm just picking on him. He's actually been good since the All-Star break. He's been 255 or whatever since the All-Star break, 300 in August. Like, he has been significantly better. He started off horrible the first 2 months. You know, Jung Woo Lee's changing his approach. He hit one down the line. It was foul, but he finally hit one down the line going the other way. This, to me, is not about dimensions. It's about mindset, execution, and going out and doing the little things. This team fails to do the little things. Yesterday's a great example. Does anyone know what the exit velocity was on Jake Cronenworth's ground ball to right field?
Was it under 100?
I don't know. It doesn't matter. That was just a smart baseball play. Hit a chopper ground ball.
I thought he was legitimately asking.
No, but like, but Joe, what do the dimensions have to do with hitting a ground ball Nothing. Between first and second?
It's diddly-poo.
What did the dimensions in the advanced analytics have to do with me putting a pinch runner who's got some speed and who has good instincts at second base and him scoring by two steps because he read that ball the whole way and knew he was going to score? That's baseball. That's the little stuff. What does analytics have to do with me knowing, like, Logan barely got out of the inning before? This is the third time through the lineup. I don't care about the analytics. Third time through the lineup, he barely got out of the last inning. I probably should have somebody ready in the bullpen. Like, guys, these are baseball fundamentals.
Well, how many times have you used that phrase? These are fundamentals when it comes to the Giants and the lack of fundamentals, whether it's Elliot Ramos running on the base paths, whether it's the wrong cutoff guy.
Matt Chapman striking out, uppercutting, trying to hit a three-run jack with runners in second and third. Now, that didn't happen last night, but I'm just saying, in general, like, I'm tired of hearing about these straw man arguments about the ballpark when there are countless times at home or on the road, second and third, less than one out, and they fail to put a ball in play.
You know, when the Niners are struggling, and we could all see it, we could all feel it last year, and we felt like there was a lack of leadership from some of the players. Obviously, Deebo Samuel is one of them. I think that was the most tumultuous season we've seen with Deebo Samuel when it came to the fan base and their kind of vitriol towards him. Devondre Campbell obviously quitting on the team, but
still insane.
No, but I could fall back, and when I listened to what Fred Warner had to say, you know, and step up as a leader that he was last year on a fractured ankle that he was playing with all season long, and when he would